research department of the Mike Church Show has learned that most people listen to this show because you want your truth neat, straight up, and never watered down.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
And the best part about taking in 100-proof truth is you can drive at the same time. And you'll never get a hangover.
I'm so wasted!
The bar at the Mike Church Show opens every weekday morning at 8 a.m. exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Is a resolution that is as radical as that which separated us from Great Britain. It is radical in this transition. Our rights and privileges are endangered, and the sovereignty of the states will be relinquished. And cannot we plainly see that this is actually the case? The rights of conscience, trial by jury, liberty of the press, all your immunities and franchises, all pretensions to human rights and privileges are rendered insecure, if not lost, by this change, so loudly talked by some and so inconsiderately by others. Is this tame relinquishment of rights worthy of free men? Is it worthy of that manly fortitude that ought to characterize Republicans? It is said 8 states have adopted this plan. I declare that if 12 states and a half had adopted it, I would, with manly firmness and in spite of an erring world, reject it. You are not to inquire how your trade may be increased, nor how you are to become a great and powerful people, but how your liberties can be secured. For liberty ought to be the direct end of your government. Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. The Confederation, this same despised government, merits, in my opinion, the highest praise. Why? It carried us through a long and dangerous war. It rendered us victorious in that bloody conflict with a powerful nation. It has secured us a territory greater than any European monarch possesses. And shall a government which has been thus strong and vigorous be accused of imbecility and abandoned for want of energy? Consider what you are about to do before you part with the government. When American spirit was in its youth, the language of America was different. Liberty, sir, was then the primary object. We are descended from a people whose government was founded on liberty. Our glorious forefathers of Great Britain made liberty the foundation of everything. That country has become a great, strong, splendid nation. Not because their government is strong and energetic, but, sir, because liberty is its direct end and foundation. We draw the spirit of liberty from our British ancestors. By that spirit, we have triumphed over every difficulty. But now, sir, the American spirit, assisted by the ropes and chains of consolidation, is about to convert this country into a powerful and mighty empire. If you make the citizens of this country agree to become the subjects of one great consolidated empire of America, your government will not have sufficient energy to keep them together. Such a government is incompatible with the genius of republicanism.
Henry Train says fire on
we'll be right back. Welcome back, Marcus Aurelius Dudas Moretus Maximus Augustine. Stone Cold Dude Austin, the Duty Lama. They used to call me the King Dude on that other chase station in the other country. We still use it. You're free to use it if you want. So what? So let's dance. This is the Mike Church Show here, currently and formerly the longest-running radio talk show in the history of satellite radio. A record that will stand until August of 2019. ...844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Invite you to go to the brand new MikeChurch.com. It's still under construction. And drop us a note. Let us know what you think about it. VeritasRadioNetwork.com is always up. Boy, we got great episodes of great stuff coming your way today. Suzanne Sherman with the Suzanne Option. Brand new live episode at noon, and then you're going to be treated to a live episode of the Constitution Hour with Professor Dr. Kevin Gutzman immediately following. So we're basically live until 2 p.m. today. And tomorrow, let's see here. We'll have Debbie's movie reviews and a free phone Friday tomorrow. So lots of great stuff. If you missed Brother Andre Marie's Reconquest last night, it's one of the great things about having a Founders Pass membership. Go get it. It's one of the better ones that he has done. That's at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. You don't have to miss anything. There are 7 original shows here on this channel. Subscribe by the month or the day for 23 cents per day, and you still have time to lock up a free copy of Humility of Heart in paperback, the best book ever written about humility. You put the Trump clip in the we're going to switch gears here for just a moment here. I spent the first hour and 40 minutes of the program talking about the unthinkable act of sheer diabolical horror that occurred last night at the Democrat National Circus, which is the president of the National Abortion Rights Action League, Elise Hoge, telling an international television audience at a major political convention, chortling American exceptionalism about how great we are and how free we are, that she took the freedom several years back to abort her baby. And then went on to tell that she now has 2 children. And we were just discussing this. How do you tell the kids? Does the child go, "Mommy, did I win the baby lottery?" She was applauded for it. Still being cheered. I was lamenting the fact that few people have reacted to this. Lo and behold, if you use the Veritas Radio Network app, you can contact us. There's a contact button. It does work. A listener, Sherry, has written in. I'd like to read to you what she has written. Mike, I watched the video. It was horrific. She's talking about Silent Scream. While you're signing up to follow us on YouTube, the official Veritas Radio Network channel, the official channel, which has official videos on it. This show streams live in video every day that we are on here for all 3 hours. As a matter of fact, we need to make a new Church Doctrine video today. We're not going to do it right now, but we will do it. Mike, I watched a video, and the video is a 1981 video made by Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who is the founder of NARAL. It's not coincidental that the founder of NARAL is now one of its loudest opponents. Dr. Nathanson I don't know what the entire backstory is, but he had a ultrasound made of an abortion that he himself performed. And it's folks, you cannot watch it and not have your life changed. No abortionist can watch that video and not change their position. If they do, they are not human. I tell you what, if they do, they need to go on a watch list. They're dangerous. Because you can physically, you can see with your own eyes, with your own sensory perception receptacles of your eyes, you can see that baby trying to get away. Mike, I watched the video. It was horrific. I had no idea what actually happened during the procedures, and I didn't want to think about it. If more people could see that video of the child trying to get away from the abortionist, I think many of these people cheering the woman, telling about her abortion, cheering the woman telling about her abortion on the Democrat National Convention might stop. And then in a follow-up note, I also wanted to let you know that I've been listening to the Crusade Channel and some of the other programs, and they are great. Sharing your post on Facebook and Twitter, want to call in, but too chicken. It's okay. It's a great way to communicate. Keep up the great work. I chose you over Glenn Beck. So, as Bill Murray said in Caddyshack, so, it got that going for me, which is nice. 844-527-8723. It's a very brief clip here from the Trumpster, from Trumpzilla yesterday. I'd like to play it for you.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. He doesn't respect our president. And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens. That'll be next. Yes, sir.
Now, Christopher and I have been laughing about this all day. What's the big deal? It's just after the fact that the Russians stole the info and that they leaked it to Assange. It's going to be, there's nothing he can do about it to stop it. Oh, he's being reckless and irresponsible, and Russia's our enemy. And so, how about you stop making them your enemy? He actually says he wants to talk to the guy that has the nukes. I think that's a smart idea. The imbeciles are out there going like, we don't negotiate, we don't talk to Russia. You don't talk to people that might have nuclear warheads aimed at major cities? Are you insane? I'm not saying that you surrender to them. I'm saying you talk to them. This is what detente is all about, a lost art. It's called diplomacy. I'm not proclaiming, again, it's not a Trump endorsement. I told you, very clear about this. But talking to people does not hurt. It does not. Look, put it this way. As long as a conversation, when you're in a bar and some dude is heckling you, and you may be fearing that it's going to be a throwdown, what precedes the throwdown? It may result in the throwdown. It may not. Conversation, dialogue. Please continue dialoguing and conversing. I tell you why the press is up. Why all the media industrial complex is so upset about this, though? Because they fear that actually Putin does have Mrs. Clinton's 30,000 emails. I'm going to go over this one more time with you quickly. We'll get to our special guest here. Mrs. Clinton said that there was no way that her totally secure and sacrosanct, the most highest levels of security in the history of high levels of security server in her basement could have been hacked by the Russians. No way. Couldn't have happened, right?
It didn't fit the narrative for her.
That's right. But wait a minute. You're telling me that the second, quite possibly the largest and most powerful political party on the face of the earth, that spends tens of millions of dollars employing people to launch security services, many of them in the pay and working with and for the general government of the United States. You're telling me that they couldn't hack her basement, but they could get in to the DNC? What are they, G. Gordon Liddy now? What is
it? Now it fits the narrative.
Exactly. So if I'm the, if you're the Democrat National Circus acolytes right now, your biggest nightmare is about to probably come true today, and that is sometime around 6 p.m. tonight, at about the time that the balloons are ready to, they're being hoisted up to the ceiling to fall when Mrs. Clinton's coronation is official, that Julian Assange sends to Anonymous or WikiLeaks one of those 30,000 emails proving that you were a security risk. We did get you. We did hack your little server in your basement.
Oh, they have motives too. If that's going to happen, they know when to time it.
Well, that's what
these people are smart. Don't get them wrong.
Well, that's what they're afraid of. And this idea that we're enemies with the Russian people, I mean, please. We have enough enemies with the jihadis. Actually, you know, the Russians had many of the same problems that we have. Let's talk to Mark Morano at Climate Depot here. We'll come back to this subject in a moment here. Because speaking of Russians, ex-Russians, ex-communists, currently ply their communism, their evil craft, in environmentalism today. Mark Morano, the producer and the creator behind the fantastic movie Climate Hustle and the proprietor of ClimateDepot.com, is on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. Brother Morano, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks for having me. And by the way, our threat is not the Russians or terrorism or Islam. It is climate change, the greatest threat to our to our life, according to this whole Democratic week here, including to Bernie Sanders, according to President Obama, and according to the James Cameron film played last night. It's we live in a bizarro world right now.
Now, I watched the film. I don't have the sound on my televisions because I would erupt all day long. So I watched it, and I'm sitting here, and I'm watching it, and I see Sigourney Weaver introduced it. Oh, good grief. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I'm watching all the smoke and then, you know, the polar bears and everything else. And then I see, you know, he interviews the usual suspects, Jack Black and whoever else. And I'm going like, you know what? Yeah. I'm just going to ask Mark to comment on this because he probably suffered through it. What was the movie about?
The movie was basically, it was about 5.5 minutes, and then the whole gist of it was, we have destabilized our atmosphere, so now every hurricane, flood, drought, storm is now our fault. It was just as low as you can go for filmmaking, meaning they had a mother of some daughter who got lost in the waves or something, and she's saying that she lost her daughter, and they're blaming it on mankind's emissions of carbon dioxide, a mother who lost her daughter. And then they interview a bunch of, at least one farmer, and he claims the crop yields are down, that he can't cook, and that food is going more expensive. Meanwhile, we're still having record crop yields. There's nothing wrong with our agriculture. And on every single metric, it completely avoided science. What James Cameron did in this film with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sigourney Weaver narrated, they went through and just did an appeal to emotion. And it was all just, you know, oh, because this bad thing's happened, this is our fault, it's due to climate change, and there's evil deniers out there. Meanwhile, they miss the basic science. Droughts, which they spent a lot of time on in the short video, there's actually no trend in global droughts. In other words, as bad as the California drought is, as bad as any other drought you can point to, we are either on declining or no trend globally on 60 years. Even in the United States, we're on declining trend. So there's just no scientific data. You can always go somewhere and find some bad event and say, oh, my gosh, this is due to climate change. And that's basically what it did. It was just this scare movie, very short, unscientific, total appeal to emotion. What Hollywood actually does best, I mean, it was very well made, good graphics, good images, tugged at your heartstrings, and they made Donald Trump out to be the evil ogre because he doesn't accept their vision of the science. That's your quick recap of the video.
I'm glad I didn't subject myself to the sound now, but I did. I was watching the president of the Vermont Republic very soon, Bernie Sanders, and I'm just thinking to myself, you have this convention, you have Bernie Sanders. And then you have Martin O'Malley. Now, in the state of Maryland, the people of Maryland, and you live in Maryland, don't you?
I live in Virginia, which is much better, but I'm in the home of Tim Kaine, so.
Oh, well, good Lord. So for your neighbors to the north of Maryland, actually have to, and I know people that have moved from Maryland because of this, actually suffer under this ridiculous notion that the state of Maryland can actually turn the global thermostat down by regulating carbon and doing things with water and all this, and passing his taxes and all. So you have O'Malley speaking last night. On Monday you had Sanders, and they both believe or profess a faith in what has to be. I mean, you and I are now, what, 10, 20, 25 years into The first pronouncement back in the early 90s from Al Gore that the planet is going to set itself on fire. Yeah. We've been hearing about the end of mankind, of the ozone layers, and all of this other stuff. None of it has come to fruition. What is amazing to me, Mark, is how the craft is still plied for profit. These people are still more well-funded than our friends in Huntsville are.
Yeah, in fact, the money just keeps rolling. Even at a scientist named Michael Mann, just recently said, one of the Climate Gate professors at Penn State, climate activist scientist, said, we don't even need the data anymore. We can see climate change out our windows. You can see it every night in the news. Well, if that's the case, why are we still funding the data? Why are we still flying, sending millions of dollars for President Obama to fly to these UN conferences? Why does every agreement and regulation declared we've solved it, this is what we need to do, they pat themselves on the back, and then instead of like moving on to another issue because they've solved global warming, we then the next cycle, a couple months later, we hear all about how it's a great problem and we need to solve it. How many times do we have to solve it? I thought we solved it back in Paris when we signed the UN climate treaty. I thought we solved it when they announced the EPA climate regulations that are going to start shutting down coal plants. They always act like there's an air of victory and we've done it and this is now. And then later, like a month later, they act as though they've never done anything and they want to keep solving it. It's an endless problem in their minds. And it's a cash cow, as you said. It's not just a cash cow. It's sort of for the Democrats in this week at their convention.
Right.
This is how they shore up their base. They have to talk about this because they have a huge environmental left-wing activist base that needs to hear this in order to put all the flyers out and get all excited.
You know, the funny one of the other funny things they didn't announce when Sigourney Weaver introduced the video is James Cameron's not even an American citizen. So.
That's right. Now, okay, we'll talk about James Cameron. I don't know if you remember, but in 2010, James Cameron challenged skeptics to a debate, a street brawl, basically like a gunslinger, that it was going to be one-on-one. He was going to shoot us and knock us down. And then his people contacted me, and I arranged with Andrew Breitbart, a female climate filmmaker, and a couple others to get together in Colorado to debate him. And we were all set. My plane landed in Colorado for this big James Cameron debate, and he pulled out at the last minute. I said at the time, he went from king of the king. What's that famous line from Titanic?
King of the world
to chicken of the sea. He backed out. So this is a guy who's all bravado. He challenged us to a debate. We agreed. We flew to Colorado, and then he cancels right as my plane lands the day before the debate. And never, ever had the debate again. He was advised by people that it was a no-win situation for him. And we had pictures of his house, which he had two houses put together. I believe they were Bel Air mansions. Drives a Corvette. He has travels around the world. So the idea that we all have to sacrifice, masses, and he being part of the Politburo, if you will, the people that make the decisions, James Cameron, Al Gore, John Kerry, these are the people with the hugest carbon footprints and the people that want to limit our lifestyles because they see a climate crisis that science does not support.
Mark Morano, the man behind ClimateDepot.com and the film The Climate Hustle, is on the Doodemaker Hotline with us. Let's switch gears for another favorite subject of yours. Last night at Democrat National Circus, if you had to suffer this insufferable fate, at about 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I think it was, Elise Hoge of the National Abortion Rights Action League took to the stage, took it in a 4.5-minute long speech, told the world very proudly and joyously that she had aborted her child several years earlier, and then went on to say that she had a family and a child, and this is how families are come about and all this. My point is, and I'm gonna tie this to you. Several years back, there were people, including Bill Nye, the science guy, that were saying that guys like me and you that deny science need to be found, locked up, and maybe even executed. Well, or detained or whatever, or suppressed or whatever. Well, I think that people that actually roam the earth and can go on international television and make confessions, or professions rather, because she was very proud of it, like Ms. Hoge did, I think Bill Nye, the science guy, ought to turn his attention to her. She's responsible for the loss of more human life than I am or you are by advocating this. Hey, why don't we just look at what the science says about the climate and not worry about what plants crave, right?
Yeah, in fact, as you're talking about abortion, very similar. Back in the 19th century, they started looking at the science of when a fetus develops into a baby, and when human life begins. And that's when actually the whole anti-abortion movement really began, back in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, when doctors were shocked at it. And that's what happened. And so in a very similar way now, they're using that issue, abortion. If you go back, you started out the segment, Mike, talking about all the tipping points and how we're all going to die and how it's the end is near. Well, in the 1960s, this was Paul Ehrlich's original vision. It was a sort of eugenics-type vision, and Al Gore is carrying that on today. The idea was they're going to use abortion, what they're calling family planning and other things, in Africa to limit their population so that the earth can handle our population. The earth can't handle it. In fact, I actually have Al Gore in Climate Hustle saying, we need to make family planning in Africa ubiquitous, population control ubiquitous, because there's projected to be basically too many Africans. He actually gives a number of how many Africans there's going to be. So it's interesting that white wealthy people are worried about how many people of color are coming down the pike, and they want to basically get rid of them. And this goes back to Margaret Sanger. It goes back to all that. So now to have the opening night, someone proudly proclaiming their abortion. Here's the question for you, Mike. If Black Lives Matter, why isn't Black Lives Matter worried about Black Lives Mattering when it comes to unborn children in this country? That's the real
right.
question.
Well, it is a question, and whenever they pan the crowd at the convention floor, you know, you see all these people with Black Lives Matters T-shirts, and I agree, they do. So do white lives and Asian lives and every other life. Well, what we have been what the Democrat convention has been about, I've been calling it Infanticide Fest 2016, a string of woman after woman after woman after woman after woman is being brought up there. It is almost, it's an obsession. It seems to me that they have just become obsessed with this idea here, and that they think that this is what their calling card is to fight back and to combat the insurgency or the rise of Trumpism, whatever you wish to call it. I mean, it really is quite a spectacle to watch it. This is what you bring to this is your response to the Republican convention. Not that it was all that, but this is your response to Donald Trump. I mean, I just number one, politically, and you worked in politics for years, I don't get it. And number two, I mean, it's just it's demented.
Well, the other question is, will it work politically? And I know Trump had a huge, some say record convention bounce. I don't know what kind of bounce they're going to get out of this convention. Maybe the polls will go back to even, or who knows, maybe it'll stay the same, or Trump's lead will even increase. But this has always been the Democrats, when these conventions, they always pander to their special interests and their base. And that always has a question of how well that plays in prime time. And I think, we'll see how this goes. I thought President Obama's speech last night, he's a great speech giver. And the same with Bill Clinton, by the way. And that speech was hilarious. And that he basically, I think he plagiarized the Harper Lee book, To Kill a Mockingbird. He took the opening sentence, if I'm not mistaken, right out of the book. And there was no question about whether he plagiarized, like they went after Trump's wife. But I think it's about storytelling. And James Cameron is about as fact-free as Bill Clinton's love story about he and Hillary, which, if you go back, Ben Bradley, the old editor of the Washington Post, said that the Clintons have a marriage that you or I would never recognize as a marriage. This was the liberal media commenting 20 years ago that they didn't have a real marriage. It was basically a political arrangement. And for them now to try to sell their marriage as some kind of storybook fairy tale romance, it's a good sort of emblem of the entire Democratic Party convention. This is a pure fantasy that they're telling, but in many ways in a very compelling way. I thought Clinton's speech was entertaining, same with President Obama's.
Well, Clinton is always entertaining. In case you're keeping track of this, right now, this is polling after Tuesday night from the Los Angeles Times. Donald Trump, 47.4%. Hillary Clinton, 40.1%. So, if anything, thus far, anyways, the gap is widening. I think with Trump stealing the headline yesterday with the story about if the Russians had the 30,000 emails, I think, they'd do a great service if they were to release them.
The best part of that was watching CNN and the commentators blowing gaskets that Donald Trump has to be serious. You can't be making these kind of comments. This is international diplomacy. They were beside themselves. What I thought was one of the greatest, you know, comments Trump could have made. It was hilarious. And you know, if you are going to hack stuff, imagine. I bet a hacker's probably got more chance at getting Hillary's missing emails than the FBI ever would, especially given the Obama administration's complete lack of interest in going after her, prosecuting.
Well, I think that this is off the subject of Climate Hustle and Climate Depot, but as I said, you used to work for Senator Inhofe. You worked on the Hill in Mordor and the Potomac River, as I call it. There's going to be high theater tonight, and everybody knows it's supposed to be high theater with Elizabeth Warren introducing Hillary and all this other stuff, and Hillary accepting the coronation that she's been lusting after for 32 years or however long.
Yeah.
What I'm just theorizing here, and I realize this is a pure act in guessing, though. I can't sit here and think, though, that Trump is not going to something. He's going to pull something. He's going to call Fox News in the middle of her speech and read some email that he got from WikiLeaks or something to that effect. Do you share my anticipation that there's something, some big surprise coming tonight?
Yeah, one of the most fun of Trump's candidacy is it's no rules, just right. And that's basically the way he's run this whole thing. He's turned political convention on his head, so it's always fun. You never know what he's going to say or do. And I'm not sure. Maybe he'll do another one of those WWF World Wrestling entrances, you know, at some other event, or maybe he'll crash the convention for all we know. But he's the perfect candidate to run against Hillary, because the only way, I think, to defeat her is to go after her. And basically, you have to be nasty, because you have to go past the mainstream media, which is protecting her. And I think if you look at McCain and Romney, they didn't stand a chance against Obama. Because they were basically polite, used decorum, considered him their colleague, and they allowed the media to frame the whole debate. They went down in defeat twice. And I think Trump has the best shot at defeating Hillary, because he knows how to play the game outside of their rule book.
I'm going to give you the perfect example of that. Yesterday during the press conference, when he was taking questions, I don't know who he called to, because they didn't pan the audience, and he didn't say who. He said by first name, but I didn't recognize the name. Yeah. Whoever the questioner was asked him a question, and had something to do with something he had previously said. And before Trump answered, he goes, "Well, first of all, that's not what I said. What I said was, this is how I said it. Exactly. I'm going to tell you, okay? Believe me. I know what I said. And this is what I said, okay?" And then he said it. And then the reporter goes, "Okay, all right, whatever, however you said it. Can you just answer?" And then Trump answered the question. He does not allow himself to be defined by them. He won't. And that's the difference. That's the difference.
What I've always said since the beginning is Donald Trump deserved the Republican nomination for one simple reason. He's the only Republican that knows how to treat the national media, and if for no other reason, he needs to be rewarded for that, so that future Republican candidates can learn from him. You don't take any guff from the media, and that is what Trump, his number one asset is right now to the Republican Party. They need to take notes and pay attention. It is amazing to watch him with the media.
That's a great analysis. It really is. Mark Morano, who is the proprietor of ClimateDepot.com, how's the movie doing, Climate Hustle?
Movie's doing great. Actually, August 11th, in 2 weeks, you can go to climatehustle.com. Makes its world debut on DVD and Blu-ray. So you'll be able to own your own copy. Anyone with any parents out there with kids in school being forced to watch Al Gore's film, being forced to be told that there's a 97% consensus, every parent needs to make sure their kids see it. And every American who cares about this issue. I'm trying to get this to Donald Trump, actually. I want him to see the film. Donald Trump is saying all the right things. I just hope he follows through on this, but he's saying all the right things. He's talking about withdrawing. We're calling it Clexit. Yeah, like Brexit in the UK. Clexit is climate exit from the UN climate treaty that President Obama and John Kerry got us entangled into. Defund the UN climate panel and withdraw from the withdraw from the UN on climate panel, and also overturn the EPA regulations. But the movie will lay out the scientific case and all the politics and the intimidation and the threats to put skeptics in jail. You'll see scientists who used to believe in global warming and have now converted. It's climatehustle.com, and you can order your copy today.
All right. Hey, That will do so.
Shameless plug.
That's right. No, that's a good plug. And if you're available, we'll have you back on the 10th or the 11th for the grand opening. Can't wait to see it.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, Brother Morano, thanks for the call. Talk soon.
Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. That's Mark Morano from ClimateDepot.com. I want to play the clip again, just one more time, because I just want to... I want to go back to the subject. Hold on.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. He doesn't respect our president. And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens. That'll be next. Yes, sir.
Sean Davis writing at thefederalist.com, as David Simpson and I were watching. Now, we missed this part of the speech. When we were on Wisdom Wednesday yesterday, I was just going to the live feed of Trump speaking. I didn't actually get that part. But while Wisdom Wednesday was going on, that happened. Sean Davis wrote this at thefederalist.com, a little blog post. Donald Trump just got Hillary Clinton to admit her emails are a national security issue. You have right there, paper rustling in stereo. This has gone from being a curiosity and a matter of politics to being a national security issue. After taunting Hillary Clinton by axing Russian hackers to release 30,000 emails she deleted, Donald Trump finally forced Clinton's campaign to admit that her unsanctioned email server scheme was a national security issue. Trump's comments about Russian hacking followed numerous reports this week that, folks, and I'm going to drop this in again. Hillary is not going to show up for the debates. There is no way she shares a stage with the host of The Apprentice, because she's not up for it. She's not up to the task. She, as a matter of fact, if I'm her campaign manager, I'm telling her the only chance you have is to avoid the debate. Trump's comments about Russian hacking followed numerous reports this week that Russian hackers compromised, blah, 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 blah. On Wednesday morning, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump asked Russia, you just heard the clip, turn over tens of thousands of emails, blah, blah, blah. But in a press release issued on Wednesday, Clinton's top campaign spokesman suddenly declared those emails to be a national security issue. Hump, hump, hump. I didn't get a hump out of that guy. Here's what they issued as a press release. Quote, this has to be the first time that a major presidential candidate has actively encouraged a foreign power to conduct espionage against his political opponent. First of all, let's review the tape. Did he ask them to perform espionage? No. The espionage has already happened, and it happened because of her carelessness, her pride, her vanity, and her arrogance. So the espionage already occurred. If they already had the emails, there is no espionage. Now there is just, hey, well, we found these emails lying around. Wouldn't you like to read them? That's not hyperbole. Those are just the facts. This has gone from being a curious... Now, this is Hillary's campaign. This has gone from being a curiosity and a matter of politics to being a national security issue. Close quote. And then Sean Davis writes, the co-founder of The Federalist, contrary to Sullivan's assertion about the unprecedented nature of Russian meddling in U.S. elections, former U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy, U.S.S. Senator Edward M. Kennedy, I begged the Soviets to help me get rid of President Ronald Reagan in 1984. Contrary to Sullivan's assertion about the unprecedented nature of Russian meddling in U.S. elections, former U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy begged the Soviets to help him get rid of President Ronald Reagan in 1984. Now, again, let's review the tape one more time. Did candidate Trump ask anyone to perform espionage?
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. He doesn't respect our president. And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens.
Now, let's unpack it. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the missing 30,000 emails. Okay, let's just simple grammar here. Third graders could figure this out. I hope you're able to find. Okay, what does that mean? That means that if you're going to find something, then it's missing. It's lost, right? So whatever event presaged it being lost, it's already occurred. So rule out the stupid espionage claim. It's not espionage. I hope you're able to find the missing 30,000 emails. Our press will, you'll be rewarded mightily by our press.
I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. I think he's mightily correct. You will be rewarded mightily by our press. Now, to the idea here that the Russians are enemies, how did they become enemies? Why are they enemies? The Russians haven't bombed us. The Russians haven't even conspired to bomb us. Well, that's right, the Cold War. The Cold War, that's right, the Cold War. Remember, we had nukes pointed at them. They had nukes pointed at us. They had KGB agents like Vladimir Putin. They were the evil empire, etc., etc. Well, wait a minute. Didn't the Cold War end? Did I read that somewhere? The Cold War ended, didn't it? I thought I read that somewhere. The former Soviet Union, where is it? Can we find it on a map today? No, it's gone. What happened to it? Well, all the Soviet republics, USSR, United Socialist Soviet Republics, that's what it stood for, they seceded. They're gone.
Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That's right. Well, there is no more wall to tear down. It's gone. So why is it that our conservative friends keep lecturing us about being enemies with the Russian people? You know, I find this funny. And I'm going to talk about this for just a moment.
Before you find it funny, can you imagine how panicked people would have been if social media existed in 1950s?
Now, yes. I find this funny. Go here. Here's a challenge for all of you that are email heavy and have been email heavy for any substantial period of time. Let's call it a couple of years. Go open your email accounts and then go pry into your spam. Hopefully it's in your spam. Into your spam folder. In your spam folder, search for the word Russian. Search for the term Russian. You can search in the body of the message. You can search by the title of the message. Two different ways to search. I would say yes. Okay, what appears in your search box? Is it photographs and threats from Russian gangs that they're coming to take Los Angeles? Is it a photograph or a meme sent by a soldier in the Red Army, if there is still such a thing, that they're on freighters and aircraft carriers headed for L.A. right now? No. You know what's in your email box? What did you just find? Anybody? Bueller. 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 Anybody? What did you just find in your spam box? I'll tell you what you just found in your spam box. You just found solicitations to go and find yourself a beautiful Russian wife. Or even worse, a beautiful Russian concubine. She'll even meet you in New York City. New York City. Yep, New York City. Are there beautiful Russian future Americans that are going to be your wife or your concubine? You dare wade into mortal sin and fornication? Are they your enemy? Is that your enemy? Well, I have news for you. They live where the maniacs want to drop the bombs. You know, look, we're all opposed, listening to this show, we're all opposed to pornography. Error has no rights. Porn is error. It's mortally sinful error. It shouldn't exist. But say this for it. It does show that there is a human presence in Russia. These people aren't just photographs. They're not just a flag. They're not some meme on a bumper sticker. They're not some some fantasized about conflict or war that madman John Bolton, the alleged former ambassador, wants to bring about. They're actually people. People live in Russia. Human beings. To my Eastern Orthodox friends, your brothers and sisters live in Russia. To my Catholic friends, our cousins, our first cousins, Eastern Orthodox, live in Russia. To my evangelical friends, your cousins, twice removed, 33 degrees separated, they live in Russia. Have you never heard of Alexander Solzhenitsyn? Have you never read his book? Have you never heard his great commencement speech in Harvard in 1976, where he told about how the Soviet people refused to surrender their faith? They refused to surrender their mass. They did it in secret at great peril, and that the Soviets could not take the faith, could not take Christ away from them. Oh, but they're our enemies. No, they're not. As a matter of fact, we have more in common with them than we'll ever have in common with the French pansies. Of course, when I say French pansies, I mean those secular atheist revolutionaries that still exist. 844-527-8723. Let's talk about that. Let's make this our church doctrine for today. I'll give you a minute to get that together. Today, before we do that, today is the 28th of July, 2016. This is the 260th broadcast day of the Crusade Channel. We currently have 2,611 Founders Past members leaving us, 389 short of our 2016 goals, with but 109 days remaining. Folks, we can do it together. Folks, if we do not meet these modest goals, we can't continue delivering the Crusade Channel quality original programming to you in the manner in which you currently receive it. So please, please, pretty please, cherries on top, consider joining us today by signing up for a Founders Pass paid membership at veritasradionetwork.com/join or by calling 866-483-3833. I also encourage you, I implore you, if you're an old Founders Pass member that signed up prior to November of 2015, please go to veritasradionetwork.com, log in, and then update all of your member information. Update your shipping address. Make sure your name, your first name and last name, because in the old station, in the old country, all you needed was a username to sign up. Make sure your first name and last name is all and your profile is updated. You can even add your own avatar. And when you leave comments, that'll show up in your comment box. There's a lot of advantages to joining the community there at veritasradionetwork.com, as we seek to make it a community. But update your billing information, including your current address, all that stuff. Make sure the zip code is right. And then your credit card info. You can do all that once you're logged in and you've saved your name, your first and last name. Then you can update your credit card information. And then please consider upgrading from old billing, like $4.99 a month for your Founders Pass, to $7.99 a month, or $49.99 a year to $79.59 a year by going to VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join. If you just click on the level that you currently are at and click purchase, when you get to checkout, the cart will automatically prorate you, but you'll be updated with your credit card now, with the new expiration date and all that stuff. And, folks, I can't tell you what an assistance that will be to our effort to keep this thing going. Remember, we are a listener-owned radio enterprise. We are distributism in media at work. If you want to see it succeed, stop being a Bernie Sanders listener. And if you, I'm in the church, please, I can't do the monthly. Well, then click the green button and make a donation one time. You can donate $5. We're well short of our crowdfunding effort, so please consider it today. Also, your purchases in the Founders Trading Post. Like today, right now, I can tell you, at MikeChurch.com, the all-new, brand-new MikeChurch.com, you might notice that there's a flash sale today on the great book about the Catholic saint, El Cid. You get a great deal and a great book today by shopping in the Founders Trading Post and all your purchases at MikeChurch.com/shop. It's the Founders Trading Post. They all go towards supporting us. We have great books, cigars, dry rub for ribs, much, much more. T-shirts, God Plan My Parenthood, you name it. It's all there in the Founders Trading Post. You can also share your purchases and your favorite items with friends and family. That's how we grow the network. That's how we grow our little thing here. Got a product you think we ought to sell in the Founders Trading Post? Send me an email. I'd love to talk to you about it. But do that today, folks, and I appreciate you. All right. To our church doctrine for today. So we have all been witness to the ghastly proceedings and what's going on in France. And we've all borne witness to what has happened in just the last 2 days, 48 hours. There's a Roman Catholic priest saying a mass, Blessed Father Jacques Hamel, saying a mass on Tuesday morning last with a couple of parishioners and some nuns when a gaggle of Muslims, Orthodox Muslims, call them what they are, Orthodox Muslims, burst into the Catholic cathedral in the Normandy region of France in Etienne, the Saint-Étienne de Rouvray, proceeded to murder Father Hamel, made him a martyr right there on the spot. We all know what has transpired. Pope Francis, the Holy Father, even spoke out about this, that we are now at war. I didn't get the entire context of it, and I hope he meant we're at war with Islam, because Islam is at war with us. Let's get this through our heads. These events are taking place in France because France defied our Lord. If we go back, ladies and gentlemen, if we go back in time, if we hop in the in the Wayback Machine and we go back into the time of June the 17th, 1687, St. Margaret Mary revealed to King Louis the 14th that she had had in a vision an order from Christ the King. She was to go tell the king, you are to consecrate France to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Do it now. King Louis refused. There was another part of the prophecy. And you have 100 years to do this. He didn't do it. Exactly 100 years to the day. On the 17th of June, 1787, the tennis court oath was taken, and the end of Louis's authority, Louis the 16th, then, as king, was about to expire. What happened in its stead? The secular, murderous rampage known as the Great Terror in the French Revolution. Tens of thousands of people executed on the streets of Paris by the guillotine. Folks, it's never stopped. We had the story of the Vendée. Over 250,000, and I'll show the audience here the book. Over 250,000 of the Vendée in the world's first genocide were killed specifically because they were Catholics. The Vendée stood up to the Constitution Congress and said no. Their priests became non-juring priests. They wouldn't take the oath saying that the Continental Congress or the Constitution Congress was superior to the law of Almighty God. They wouldn't do it. What happened? The French Republican Army went after them. And then the Vendée fought back, organized, and they had the French Republican Army on the run. They probably should have marched on Paris and finished the job, but they were Catholic and they didn't think that they needed to or that they should. They shouldn't involve any non-combatants in it. So they went back to their homes. The rest, as they say, is tragic history. William Doyle wrote one of the best books. This is a scholarly work called The French Revolution, Oxford History of the French Revolution. In this book, if you buy yourself a copy, you will find on, beginning on page 256, the story of the Vendée. It is Mr. Doyle that lays the claim out in the Oxford edition or the Oxford History of the French Revolution that the Vendée suffered the world's first genocide. Some 250,000 of them were killed. Folks, the pox is still on the house that is France. It is. Let me get that point out of the way. Yesterday, writing at thefederalist.com, M.J. Opetta, a female writer, writes this. France President Hollande suggests France will finally defend its culture against ISIS. And then she starts off by saying, it's hard to feel hopeful about the state of Europe these days. In the 2 weeks since a Tunisian-born man drove a truck through a crowd in Nice, killing 84 people, Germany has been victim to four violent attacks. Then on Tuesday, two men stormed into a church in northern France and slit the throat of an 86-year-old. The attack on the church was small in scale and took less planning. The latest horror has profoundly shaken the traditionally Catholic country. Perhaps this explains why French President François Hollande made a somewhat unusual comment about religion and the state. Is it an indication France is finally ready to defend its ancient? She didn't write this, but I'll put it in. Are the French now finally ready to abandon the secular humanism that they have embraced for 2.5 bloody revolutionary centuries and return to the ancien regime of blessed, beloved Saint King Louis IX? Folks, let us pray. Let us hope. Miss Opetta. On Tuesday, Hollande said, quote, killing a priest is to desecrate the republic, which guarantees freedom of conscience. He made it clear that attacking any religious institution strikes at a fundamental aspect of the republic. But it seems his comments weren't just about freedom of religion. He may have been daring to single out Catholicism as particularly important to French civilization. And Miss Opetta concludes, and you can find us in today's Church Doctrine or at today's pile of prep at mikechurch.com. The hope is that France, which has taken the brunt of terror attacks in the West in the last year and a half, is beginning to see the need to fight. Of course, it's not unusual to find rhetoric defending France's religious and cultural identity in the National Front Party. After the attack on the church, National Front President Marie Le Pen said, the heart of our nation's cultural identity has been intentionally struck, close quote. She acknowledges Catholic tradition is a crucial part of French culture. Her growing appeal, as evidenced by recent poll numbers, suggests many people feel the same. The question is whether this narrative is moving into the mainstream. Folks, Islam is going to step its attacks up. I have been telling you this for almost 2 years now, and certainly since we started here on November the 11th, 2015, at VeritasRadioNetwork.com and on the Crusade Channel. Our fight against Islam requires our solidarity as Christians. We cannot do that bifurcated into 38,000 denominations. We need to return to the single unity of Holy Mother Church in order to fight this evil in fashion in which in solidarity with one another. I know it's a great point of contention. It's very controversial. Few people are going to do it. I continue to pray for it every day. And also to state very boldly, here where I live in Louisiana, I don't want to be associated with the rest of the people of these United States in political union with them anymore. They're diabolical. Will I continue to pray for them? Yes. Just as I pray for the people in France. Wake up, get back to your ancien regime. We have also an ancien regime here in Louisiana. Did you know that? That's right. Louisiana was settled for King Louis. It was claimed for Christ at the mouth of the river in the mid part of the 17th century. It's easier to reclaim land for Christ than has previously been claimed for him. I say that we form, through the Louisiana Independence Party, the Republic of St. Tammany. And as our flag, fly the Carillon de Sacre Coeur. That's the flag of the Sacred Heart. Back to Miss Opetta. Holland told reporters Tuesday that, quote, ISIS has declared war on us. We have to win that war, close quote. Certainly France must take tangible steps towards better defending itself from an internal threat, and there are various suggestions for how to do that, but it must first see enough worth in its own society to want to save itself. It must not be too ashamed to fight back. And then we move over to Chronicles magazine, Tacky Theodorakopoulos. Theodorakopoulos. I know I get that right. Theodorakopoulos, just for our English-speaking friends. Writing on the same subject, playing games with Islam. He concludes properly, as all the saints have had to deal, including St. John Bosco, St. John of the Cross, all the saints that had to deal with Islam pretty much said the same thing. You can't deal with it. It is an evil. It is the greatest of all heresies. Here is a tacky quote. This is the final paragraph of his piece. Quote, let's face it. If Muslims had their way, and by that I mean most Muslims, homosexuality would not only be banned but a capital offense, as it is in most Muslim countries. But instead of concentrating on that fact, what did the gay lobbies do after Orlando? Point their fire and ire against perceived homophobia. One placard in front of the White House said it all. Homophobia equals Islamophobia. Huh? No, it doesn't. A friend of mine calls such vile absurdities atrocity exhibitionism. But it's worse than exhibitionism. First and foremost, it's a big lie. It's turning a blind eye to Muslim hatred of everything. Gays, Jews, women, Christians, you name it. Muslims hate it. It's the refusal to declare war on Saudi and Qatari and Kuwaiti money that finances terror by our elite because they've been bribed time and again. Makes one wish for Saddam Hussein, says Tacky, with his hard-drinking sons and tanks on Kuwaiti soil. Folks, our time has arrived. It is now. Our time is now. The threat from Orthodox Muslims is here. It's not coming. It's here. It's certainly in France, and we can no longer deny that it's in the United States. Are we going to take the great wisdom, stand on the shoulders of giants like St. Pope Pius X, like Don John of the Holy League, like St. Francis of Assisi? Are we going to stand on the shoulders of giants and rally to the Catholic Church, to her solidarity and solidarity with her, stand against that evil, relying on the intercession of Our Lady, as our ancestors did for over a millennia? Or are we going to think that we can just raise our little armies? We can just go, USA, USA, USA.
Well, I tell you what, man, we got to get over there and fight damn where. You got to do that.
We got to get our houses in order. That means us, gentlemen. Get our houses right. Get our houses right with God. And yes, we are going to have to take the fight spiritually first, with love and compassion and prayers for conversion, and then if necessary, as the Crusaders had to do. That's the way I see it here on today's Church Doctrine. All right, folks. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. You got to read the rest of what was written about this. Joseph Pierce also chiming in on this subject. Yes, let's talk about religion and politics. It is, writes Pierce. Skip ahead from the introduction. Religion and politics are inseparable for the Christian because of the inseparability of the two great commandments of Christ, that we love our Lord, we love the Lord our God, and that we love our neighbor. As such, the goal of secular fundamentalists to separate religion from politics is not merely an affront to Christianity, but an effort to ban Christians from political life. But this is nothing new. Secular fundamentalism has always been intolerant of Christianity and has always sought to exclude Christians from political discourse. From the persecution of the early church and the martyrdom of countless early Christians to the French Revolution and its great terror. We just talked about it. Right through to the last century, with the extermination of Christians in the concentration camps of national and international socialism. The intolerance of secular fundamentalism has continually crucified the body of Christ as it has continually corrupted the body politic. Like, folks, this is why I keep telling you. Middle church, that can't happen here. This is America. Yeah, America has a secular civic religion, just like the Soviets did, just like the Germans did, just like the Chinese and the Cubans do. Don't you see? When it is secular, it is possible to identify Christians and Christianity as a threat. How do you think it happened in the Soviet Union? Of course, you're not supposed to say these things. You're supposed to say, we got churches, we had Thomas Jefferson, we had separating the church and state. To which I tell the imbeciles that would say something so historically stupid and imbecilic as that, go pick a history book up and read it for a change. At the time the First Amendment was ratified, the state of Connecticut actually had a state church. At the time the First Amendment was ratified, 2 years prior to the ratification of the First Amendment, the state of Virginia was actually on behalf of one denomination, was actually collecting tithes. Tithes. There was an act in the Virginia legislature in 1786 to actually make one particular religion the religion of the state, one denomination, and to collect tithes in order to pay the pastors and the school teachers. Guess who was the author of the bill? Patrick Henry. You don't know what those Hades you're talking about. The early American Christians of the era of our founders had religion in their politics. Now, thanks to the efforts of little Jimmy Madison and all the little hedonists and pagans that came after him, well, it took 100 years or so, but it's all been chased out now, and then we finished the job. That's no longer true. The hope for the future is to reverse that practice, is to restore the eternal law superior to the law of man. That's the way it works. That's the way it's supposed to work. To me, it even sounds better. Let me see here, Alex. I'll take eternal law for $1,000. That's our double jeopardy for the day. But no, I'm supposed to come in here and I'm supposed to lie to you and I'm supposed to say, you need to. That's not what Glenn Beck said, Mr. Church. That's not what Limbaugh and Hannity. You, that's not what Levin said. You're out of the talk radio mafia. Oh, thank the Lord I'm out of the talk radio mafia. Bear it all in mind, folks. Bear it all in mind. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program today. 844-5-CRUSADE. Website at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. That's VeritasRadioNetwork.com. What?
Suzanne's waiting for you.
Yeah, I see that. We have great
to preview our next show today.
We have a great live programming coming at the remainder of the afternoon here. Keep it tuned right here. And then tell your friends, you know, I can't listen to Mike Church. I can't listen to your stupid. That's I kept meaning to promote this. I don't have time to listen to that show in the morning. I'm already at work, or I'm listening to Glenn Beck, or I don't have broadband at the office. All right, can you listen on the way home? Because it is rebroadcast every afternoon from 3 to 6, right? Oh, ask the water dude to put one in my car for me, please. You could promote that the rebroadcast is in the afternoons, and the rebroadcast of the Mark Kresslin Show is in the evenings, beginning every evening at 8 p.m. Okay, so we have Suzanne Option live at noon today, Central, 1 p.m. on the East Coast. That's 10 a.m., rather, on the left coast. And immediately following that, a live edition of the Constitution Hour, where Professor Dr. Kevin Gutzman, he's going live today. It's just a live broadcasting party. Will you be there? Suzanne will be there. What's on tap today, Ms. Sherman?
Well, good morning, Mike. Last week, Survival Mom, Lisa Bedford, joined me, and it was so fun to have a like-minded woman on with me. We just went crazy, and I'm going to say right now, please excuse my voice. I'm a little under the weather. We threw a lot of information out there for the listeners, and today I'm going to back it up a little bit and fill in some gaps, and particularly in light of what we've been hearing from the circus in Philadelphia, kind of give some information on how you can simplify and take the time to enjoy our families and to keep them safe. So a little bit of everything, and looking forward to that. A lot of people are sending me messages saying they want to call in as well. So anybody that wants to help and call and save my voice will be very appreciated.
I learned a long time ago to never rely on people, on callers bailing me
out. I'll get it done one way or the other.
Get her done, right? So how is Survival Mom?
She's pretty cool. I really, really enjoyed her. And then as for me, we're doing well out here, keeping busy. I'll get people updated on how my first attempt out here is at growing my own food. That's going really well. Hunting season starts here officially August 1st for antler with elk. So a lot of excitement going on. We got our first little baby chicken. So a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
You got to take a video crew out with you when you go and catch or shoot your first elk or whatever, antelope or whatever, and you field dress that joker.
Well, you know what? I think Facebook now has where you can go on and broadcast live with a little video. So assuming, and I am in areas that has connectivity when I hunt, so if I can get a good signal, I probably will do that. I'll try and, you know, ethical hunters are very respectful of their animals, so I'll try not to make a show of it, but I will definitely put the animal in a dignified light and show what we've done.
What are these ethics that you speak of?
The ethics are showing respect to the animal. I know my friend Robin Minyard, who's also another hunter from Tail Gunner. When you take an animal's life, you show it respect. I do a prayer. Many people will pray. And also thank the animal. Yes, it didn't voluntarily give its life, but it did. And the first time you see something die at your hands, particularly if it hasn't completely died and you have to finish it up close, it's a very sombering experience. It's bittersweet. It's not something that should be celebrated as a victory, but it's somber, and respect is required. And also when you do take a photo, you see a lot of people. JD, you see with his pictures, our new sponsor, JD African Safaris, tastefully done photos where the animal is set up. You don't see blood. You don't see the tongue hanging out. It's not gory. Yes, you've killed an animal, but you still show it respect. Also, respect means not wasting the meat. I process all my own meat. I literally go in between the ribs with a paring knife and use meat for jerky or to ground it up. I waste nothing. I make stock from the bones, and then the carcass goes out to feed the bald eagles and other birds that look for food here in the winter.
Good Lord. You left out the don't you skin and tan and make rugs out of the hide?
That is on my to-do list, and actually there's a method where you can use the brains to make to tan the hide, and I have not gotten there yet because most of the time when we're hunting in the wintertime, we have very, very cold temperatures out here. So, no, I haven't done it yet, but it's on the list.
Well, I'm thinking of the of boiling, cooking the bones and getting the stock out. We do that when, here's how Cajuns are taught to make jambalayas, for example, or anything you're gonna use pulled chicken with. You know, you don't go and buy the stuff in a bag, you sissy. You go and you buy a whole chicken. No, I've never actually butchered one myself, but I buy them whole all the time. And especially a fresh one if you can get your hands on one. And you boil that joker. And then when you're done, after you're done picking all the meat off, you get to get it to the temperature you want, you put the bones back in the pot, put some water in there, and then the skin and all that, and you get a stock. That's how you get chicken base. And you cook it down until it starts to get a little thick. And then you can refrigerate it. You can freeze it in little tubs, make your own chicken stock. It's the best stock you can ever get. And that's the way that we cook. We always try to make our own stock if we can.
Well, so, also using the bones. Bone broth is very, very good for you. It has a lot of the chondroitin and the ingredients that you need to maintain healthy cartilage as well. So when I do this, the first time I processed, I think from two elks, I got 70 quarts of elk stock, and I pressure can it and put it away.
Wow.
And I use it for every time I make soups, stews. You can use it for sauces, chilies, anything that calls for the canned beef broth, which tastes hideous that you get in the store.
Mm-hmm.
I use that if my son is feeling under the weather. My younger one always asks if he can have some elk broth, and that always brings him around. So, yeah, it's a great way, again, to pay respect to the animal and look after your own health.
Miss Suzanne, do you hear me? Do you,
yeah.
You said pressurized jars. Is it cans or jars?
Pressure. They call it canning. I mean, actually, I'm going to have to do a show on that. But you use glass
quart jars. Yes,
you
do.
Jars, mason jars,
and
right?
You put them in a pressure cooker, and it seals them, it sterilizes them, and they're good for years.
Wow, that's what I thought, because if I remember, we used to do that for a campanada. It's an Italian dish, but you boil the can, you boil the mason jar, put your food in there, and then you seal it in the heat as it cools down, draws in the pressure, and then you got a sealed jar.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow,
and when you pressure
can,
you don't need to sterilize them first. That's when you do the hot water.
You guys are rednecks. Let me tell you something up there.
Hey, can I also, I want to do a quick heads up for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, do it.
And again, I really didn't schedule a guest today because, as you knew, I wasn't planning to be here today, but I really wanted to pull it together since our plans changed. Ayrton's doing his test in the race car tomorrow instead of today.
Uh-huh.
So, but tomorrow I scheduled Larry Mudgett, who has a shooting academy, another voice of Utah called Marksmanship Matters. And I never knew he lived out here, but years ago, I think back in 2012, he had posted an article, and I've referred to this and shared it numerous times on Facebook and with friends. It's called Why Surrender is Never an Option. And given the horrific events we've been seeing, particularly in this summer and last summer, I'm having him on. He worked with Colonel Jeff Cooper, who my firearms instructor, Louis Auerbach, also worked with, both of them for over 30 years. And we want to let people know that when you are involved in one of these horrific situations, be it that or the home invasion, one of the perpetrators in the Connecticut home invasion were two women, two daughters, and the mother were brutalized. He has been given life without parole. His death sentence has been commuted. We want you to know that capitulation will likely get you in a far worse spot, and he's going to discuss that and why. So really want to give people a heads up to listen tomorrow.
Fantastic. All right, so that's the Suzanne option today, live at noon Central, 1 on the East. That's 10 a.m. on the left. Suzanne, we'll talk to you in an hour.
Yeah, you will. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for us here today on the Mike Church Show. Thanks for being with us. We have Free Phone Friday coming up tomorrow. Debbie Schlussel with the movie reviews. I'll be back here with you in about two hours with a live edition of the Constitution Hour with Professor Dr. Kevin Gutzman. Don't miss that. If you miss any part of this show, folks, go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join. Sign up for a Founders Pass membership. And you can assist us in getting to our number for the month of 100 paid memberships, or call 866-483-3833. For Maggie O'Connell and Young, for Christopher Warshower, it's Mike Church saying so long. May God bless you and Mary keep you.